Okay, lovely to see you all. I'm glad I didn't put you off last week, but you're back again. And this lovely, it was wetter today, but it's turned out very nice tonight, and we're here in the Lord's presence. And we've even got lollipops at the end, so you won't go away without anything. And thanks for coming, and thanks for your prayers for us in God's work. We're going to read a little passage in Jonah, in the Old Testament, Jonah chapter 4, just not the whole chapter, just a little part of it, and I'm sure God will bless. Jonah and chapter 4 and verse 5 says, Jonah went out, sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in its shade, waited to see what would happen to the city. My, if we just all sat back and waited to see what would happen to Paisley, my, what would we be like? Well, that's what Jonah did anyway. Then the Lord God provided a vine, made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, the Lord provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint and wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this vine. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? And so it ends with a question. And God saying, should I not be concerned with a great big city like Nineveh? Thank you for your help over so many years. Those of you who are friends, old friends, with our ministry and with the Jesus bus. Another wee picture of it up there. Pray for the wee bus this week. You'll notice it's not here again, sadly. For those that haven't seen it, but it's away. I went away this afternoon with our own church, Roman Road, and they have a youth camp up in Faskally in Pitlochry, and they're away up. As far as I know, they're away this afternoon, and they've probably arrived up there. So the wee bus is on mission up there in Pitlochry, and lots of people will be reading the text away up there. But I've got a wee story, because John Dick, when he came back with it last Sunday night, most of you missed him because he was a wee bit late, you were away home, but he did come about 7:45 and brought the Jesus bus back. It had been on mission in Johnston, and he was telling me a wee story about what happened. I think the team were out on the Jesus bus planning something, and the bus had been parked. He said it was near a bus stop. I don't know exactly where it was, but the young folks had left the door open. Now, you'll see that when we open the door on the Jesus bus, it says something a wee bit different. It says, Jesus said, you again, you know. Now, on our last bus, the blue one, if you remember, it actually, the way the words were, it actually said, you again, John. But this time, it just says, you again, and John's in wee letters, so you don't really see that as much. But a lady at the bus stop, apparently was really spoken to, and Jesus said, you again. And she came to the team and she said, can I speak to the pastor? And John went forward and she said, God has, she explained that she had been away, a backslider, away from the Lord, had a lot of problems in her life with her son who's learning difficulties and that, and expecting a child with his girlfriend. The child's going to be taken off them by the social and so on, and loads of problems in her life. And she says, God has really just spoken to me through what it says on the bus. Jesus said, you again. And I know he wants me to come back to him. So they're putting, she's from Troon actually, and they're putting her in touch with Seagate, you know, evangelical church down there. And I was really so encouraged, you know, by how God can use the wee bus, even with the door open, to touch someone's heart. Jesus said, "You again." And here we all are, and he's saying, "You again." He loves us. He cares for us. His arms are open wide, you know, and if you're a backslider, he loves you tonight, and he wants you to come back, and he says, "You again." If you've been confused, I've been confused lately about things that have been happening. You know, sometimes, as Christians, Lindsay said, we get confused during the week what's going on, and sometimes we say, "Lord, what's happening to me?" And a lot of God's people are depressed and down, and they're just longing to know the comfort and the presence of the Lord in a new way. And it's good to know that the Lord says, "I'll never leave you." Maybe somebody needs to hear that tonight. God loves you tonight. Jesus will never leave you. You know, he's faithful. Yes, it's difficult just now, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. He will bring you through, you know. You will see the light. And he will bring you through the valley. You will stand again on the mountaintop. Things will become clear. Just keep holding on. Just keep trusting. I love that wee verse in Proverbs, and I've been pouring over it again this week in my own experience. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that comforting? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding. That's what we do. You know, we begin to look at circumstances like Peter. We look at the waves, and we begin to think, don't we? And we just have to cry out sometimes, "Lord, save me!" And he takes our hand and he lifts us up and he brings us safely into the boat, and he restores us to himself. So I thought that was lovely. Jesus said, "You again." Now I want to talk about personal evangelism tonight, and I'm not going to give you formulas. Because when we came to Scotland, we were trained how to evangelize, and we learned all these formulas, and we went to the doors with all these things, and you know, I had to unlearn it all because it just wasn't me, you know. If you want a formula for personal work, well, you know, you'll need to come maybe on another night and get someone to teach you these things. But I'm not going to give you formulas tonight, or verses to learn, or anything like that. All these things are good, they have their place, I'm sure. But I want to just give you little principles tonight about what I would say is what we really need to have to be a good witness for Jesus in 2009. And I'm sure we all want to be a witness for Jesus in 2009. How's your testimony tonight? Testimony. Your testimony. Every Christian needs to have a testimony, you know. And I don't mean you just get up and you tell your testimony, although that's a good thing to do. And a man came up to me during the week, met him a couple of times. I had the Jesus bus out, and he came to me. I didn't know him. He says, came up to me, he saw the bus, and he started to talk to me, and he asked me how I became a Christian. And I was really, really delighted. He said he'd been with the Jehovah's Witnesses for 3 years, got disillusioned with that, and seemed to be searching for something, and he had a lot of questions, but he was asking me how I became a Christian. And we need to have a testimony. We need to be able to tell people how we became a Christian and what the Lord means to us, and that's very, very good. But we need to have a testimony. What I mean by that is we need to have a testimony that, you know, we need to have a testimony in our community, you know. We need to be like Jesus in our community. That means in our family. It means in the place where we work. You know, it is means in the places where we go day by day, to the shops or wherever it is, you know, the hospital, the school, the office, the classroom, wherever it is. We need to be like Jesus and take Jesus with us. And people need to see that we're different. They need to see something in our lives that's different, that's of Jesus, something that they really appreciate, and something that makes them curious, you know, and something that actually it makes them thirsty. You know, you've got something that they haven't got, And they're interested in how they get this. And I think this is a very, very interesting thing, our testimony. And as we said last week, you know, in Motherwell, over 30 years working for the Lord, and the community know, they know that Trixie and I are Christians. Not just because we have a bus that goes around with Jesus says you must be born again on it, but because over the years we have loved them. Over the years we have had time for them. Over the years we have been kind to them. Over the years we have done things for them and given things to them, you know. And this is all added up to a testimony. And we don't take it for granted, of course, and we're praying all the time because the devil would like to attack that and bring that down. But to have a testimony that people have watched us over many, many years, and they have seen that we're consistent, you know. We've been there, we haven't gone away. We've been there, we've lived in among them, and we've shared our lives with them, and over all these years, and yet we're still the same, going on for Jesus, and people see that, and that speaks to them. That speaks to them. And they know that God is real to us, and he's real in our lives, even though they have not got Jesus, they can see him in me. And I think that is a wonderful thing, and that's a glorious thing, and that is an important thing. And nothing can take the place of that, you know, because you can go around saying this and that. If your life doesn't back it up, you know, it's no good going around Bible thumping people, you know, quoting scriptures at them and that sort of thing, you know. You have to do other things as well. And this little picture here, the philanthropist, I think this is a great little, picture. This is a new little television series that's out in America. I don't think it's come here yet. And it's called The Philanthropist. And that's what each one of us should be for Jesus. A philanthropist, it simply means, it's from two Greek words, you know, anthropos, which means man, and phil means love, you know. So a lover of man, you know, someone like a benefactor, someone like a carer, someone who goes out of their way to help people. And in this little program, this little television series, it's about this man here who is actually he's a billionaire, and he's a very, very corporate sort of a man, empire builder. And one day he's out in Nigeria, and he's in a flood, and he rescues a little boy from the water, and then eventually he ends up going to the little boy's village and taking cholera vaccination and stuff like that. And so it goes on, and it's about this man. He goes to different places in the world. Maybe he's rescuing girls from slavery to prostitution, and maybe he's helping children. It just depends. But it's all about the philanthropist, and the philanthropist is someone who cares for people and who does what he can to help them in their need and in their suffering and in their situation. But you say, but I'm not a billionaire. Well, let's look at the scriptures here. And here's a verse from the New Testament that says, you will be made rich. You know that verse? That's a good verse, isn't it? You will be made rich. So, if we love the Lord, then we are rich. Then we are rich. We are very rich. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous. This is what God has called us to. So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And so, we are to be generous. This is my first little point tonight. We are to be generous. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. If you are going to help people, if you are going to be a witness for Jesus, you are going to have to be generous. You're going to have to be generous. Now, some people are naturally generous. I wouldn't necessarily say that I am naturally generous, but the Spirit of God, the Lord, is working in me. And he is making me more generous. My wife's very generous. She would give away her last penny, you know. I've seen us, maybe we've only two little jars of jam in the house. That's all we've got. And she will give one of them away. One of them away. And that is absolutely fantastic. Generosity. I see it day by day, right lives before me. Generosity, you know. And it's not that we're billionaires and then we start giving away our money and helping people. But the Lord comes at it the other way. He says that if we're generous, and if we give, then he will give back and bless. Isn't that lovely? It's the law of the harvest, you know. We reap what we sow. If we sow in generosity, then we will reap in riches. That's the way it goes. And so the Lord will see to it, as we give and as we are generous, the Lord will see to it that he will supply all our needs, you know. And there should be no such thing as a poor church, you know. There should be no such thing as a group of Christians saying, well, we can't afford this, we can't afford that, we can't afford the next thing, you know. If we get up and begin to give and begin to love and begin to care, well, we will have the blessing of God and the power of God and the resources of God will come in behind us. And I believe that with all my heart, that the Lord is calling us to generosity. And what a time. They talk about recession. This is a great time for us as Christians to rise up and to prove God in a recession by reaching out and caring for our communities and caring for the people round about us and doing things and being kind and sharing with the people all around. And God says if we do that, we'll be made rich in any way. There is no other way. We have got to spend money. Now, you didn't think I was going to preach on that tonight, did you? Always coming to talk about personal evangelism. You cannot do personal evangelism if you're not prepared to spend money. You know, we're spending all the time helping people here, helping people there, you know, and it's just impossible to help people. Now, we've been hearing about a camp, and Lindsay's made an appeal for baking, you know, let's be generous for this camp, you know, let's go the second mile, you know, let's not say, oh, I'll do just this little tin, let's do 3 or 4 or 10 tins, you know. Let's be generous. Let's put our hearts into it. Let's be cheerful givers. And let's bless the work of the Lord, you know. Encouraging all these young people that are going away. Encouraging all the leaders by getting behind them. Why not get alongside Lindsay and ask him, do you need anything? Can I help in any way? What can I do to support you in this work for God? It's a work for God. It's a work for Jesus, you know. And the Lord brings his rewards. And the Lord will supply all our needs. And he'll open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing so big, you know, that we will not have room to contain it. But what's the condition? Bring all the tithes. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And prove me not herewith, says the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And so, we need to be generous. We need to spend lots of money, you know, and be generous for the Lord, and reach out and help in our community in ways. You know, if you're in the supermarket, and I've said this often, you know, and you've got your trolley, you know, and there's somebody coming in behind, why not pay for their messages as well, you know? That's the kind of thing, you know, something revolutionary, something that will leave people speechless. You know, if you're getting petrol, just pay for the guy behind you in the queue, pay for his petrol, you know. Something revolutionary, something different, something fresh, something for the Lord. You know, if you're in the queue at the canteen, why not buy somebody else, pay for somebody else's lunch, you know. Wouldn't that be lovely? You're getting a cup of coffee, you know, at the wee cafe area, and there's somebody else getting a cup, pay for their coffee. You know, this, and you know, it's this generosity. It's this spontaneous giving. This is what will mark us out. And it really, really does work. It works. It works. As you do these spontaneous things for the Lord, Jesus. And here's another thing that we need to. And if you want to start, if you say, oh, I don't know if I can give money, but if you want to start, you can start being generous with your words. And this is very, very important. This is just as important as the other. You know, the Bible says that reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words. You know, I remember Trixie and I had been witnessing to one of our wee neighbours. It was a Roman Catholic lady and that we loved very much in the Lord. And for many, many years we'd been visiting her, helping her, running to get her medicine, doing wee jobs for her, and bringing her little cakes and doing all the wee things, you know, that Christians do just to show you love and care. And then one day we decided we'd invite her to church, you know. Just after a few years of helping her, and we thought it'd be nice to invite her to a wee church service. It was a wee tea meeting, and there were wee tables. You sat around, you got a wee cup of tea, and she just loved being in our wee hall and just sitting at the wee table and getting a wee cup of tea. And then we sang some hymns as a wee speaker and so on. And we're all just there, and there's a wee group of us, five or six of us, round the wee table with her. And you know, this brother in the Lord, you know, he just, you know, he didn't know her background or anything. He just suddenly comes out with, oh, he says the Roman Catholic Church. He says, oh, what a dark, dark, dark religion. And I'm just sitting there, oh no, my goodness, why does he have to come out with this? And my friend's just sitting there, first time in our hall. Years of work, you know, years of building up rapport with that lady, and just one word can tear it all down. He could have ruined, you know, he could have ruined. Luckily, she was a wee bit hard of hearing, you know, just, and I was blessing God for that. And I don't think she actually heard the whole thing. And I'm going, oh my Lord. Sometimes you're feared to bring people to church. That is the truth. Sometimes you're afraid. You know, if you've been building up a relationship with someone, you know, and oh, you say, Lord, you know, dare I bring them to church? Or something's going to happen that's going to destroy all that we've been doing, you know. And that's not the way it should be. We should be people that are positive and people that, you know, people that aren't reckless. And what we say, you know, and find something encouraging to say, you know. And if you're going to say something negative, you're better off staying at home, you know. Don't come with all your doom and gloom to the service and pour it all out over people. Because you're only doing harm. You're only doing the devil's work. It says the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, I love to compliment people. You know, it's a way of life for me. It wasn't always like that, but a number of years ago, God spoke to me about my words, and he said, I want you to be generous with your words, you know. I want you to compliment people sincerely, not flattery, not false. And I found even, you know, I just found myself naturally, my wee neighbour, she came out the other day and a wee pink top, and I just said, oh, I like your pink top. I don't even have to think now, you know. Just say something nice to people, you know. Say something nice, you know. Build them up. Encourage, you know. If they'll accept a hug, give them one, you know. It might be the only one they get all week, you know. Might be the only one they get all week. A lot of people have told me that. They've said, this is the only one I'll get this week. And that's sad, isn't it? But you know, we should be building up the people and being kind, you know. Here's a wee easy one this time of the year. Here's a wee easy one. How was your holiday? Now, you would think that everybody's doing it. You know, we don't ask people that question. You know, maybe we're jealous because they went away on a cruise, you know. We didn't. But I find myself, you know, if somebody's been away on a cruise and I get a wee bit jealous, and I find that the Lord helps me if I ask them, how was the cruise? And if I find out all about it, you know, and if I spend 5 or 10 minutes out of my busy, busy schedule really listening. You know, Trixie was saying, there's a wee pool attendant, she's a swimmer, and a wee pool attendant was in Spain. She came back with her wee tan and looked all gorgeous, and Trixie was, it took us quite a few years to get through to this wee lassie, you know, because she was a hard nut to crack, you know. But Trixie said, you know, Ray, I was asking her about her holiday, and she actually got down off the chair, you know, the big chair that they sit on so they can watch all the swimmers, you know. Trixie said she actually came down off the chair, you know. I think Trixie was in the water, and she kneeled down at the side of the water to tell me about how she got on in Spain, you know. Wasn't it as well that Trixie said, how was your holiday, you know? Isn't that? And this wee soul poured out all her story, you know, and Trixie gave her 10 or 15 minutes just to listen about Spain. If you'd been on holiday, you know, you want to tell people. But nobody wants to listen, isn't that right? Even at church, they say, how was your holiday? Fine. And off they go, you know, making the coffee, making the tea, or bustling here and there. Out the door, in the door, switching the lights off. Time to go, you know what it's like? Church. Oh, what are we like? What are we like? But you know, we should be generous. We should give people the time. We should listen to them. Listen to what they have to say. And compliment them and ask questions and say, if they're telling you about it, show an interest. Ask something about what they're saying, you know. And you would think everybody would be doing that, but we're not, you know. We are not caring for one another. We're not caring for people. And here's a good thing. Why don't you do it this week? I want you all to go out. Sometime this week, ask someone how their holiday was. Okay? Not your wife. Ask somebody how their holiday was. Because this is what's on people's minds, and nobody's asking, you know. And here's an opportunity. A Christian is showing interest in me, in my life, and in my holiday. That will really blow the minds of the community. That the church is actually caring about their holiday, you know. And isn't it a wee bit sad that we've come to this? And that's the way we are, that we don't show that generosity. So we need to be kind. We need to ask people how they are. And we need, this is the next one, we need to be sensitive. You know, people are breaking their hearts all around us. And it's no good coming up to them and sticking an invitation to church or a gospel tract into their hands when their hearts are breaking. And sometimes, you know, we just don't see the people round about us. We don't see the need. And we have to ask the Lord, Lord, make me a wee bit sensitive, you know. And wherever, you know, in the workplace, somebody's a wee bit down, you know, take the time, you know, say, is everything all right, you know. And maybe they'll pour out their story. Maybe they won't. But the fact that you asked, the fact that you noticed, the fact that you cared, you know, it's amazing how God can use us. We need to ask the Lord to be sensitive to one another, you know. Sensitive to the folks around about us. And it's so sad, isn't it, that people all over the place are breaking their hearts. Maybe your next door neighbour, maybe down the road, their hearts are breaking and they would just long for a wee friendly word or for someone to say, how are you? And to have a 5 or 10 minutes out of your busy schedule, you know. To just really empathise. And really, this goes a long way. Christians, this is what Christians should be doing. This is personal work. This is our witness for Jesus. Jesus cared, didn't he? About the brokenhearted, didn't he? He cared about the suffering people. He cared about the sick. He cared about the outcast. He cared about the friendless. He cared about those that nobody had any time for. He cared about the ordinary people as well as the wealthy ones, you know. And we need to have the heart of the Lord Jesus. You know, we need to be generous. We need to be sensitive. We need to be kind. We need to be philanthropists. We need to love, genuinely love the people. And this is something that God can do for us. We can be known as a caring church, a loving church, a church that really has time for folks. For non-members, you know, the church has to be for non-members. A lot of clubs, social clubs and everything, it's members only. But the church is here to benefit non-members. And that's a great thing about the church. Give somebody a hand. And we see this all the time in the kind of work that we do with young people and so on that are maybe drunk or fallen. And we have had to literally lift people up off the road and maybe call an ambulance or maybe try and stop the bleeding. I used to take handkerchiefs out with me, and most of the time I would come home at night and the handkerchief would be covered in somebody's blood. I remember one time there was a fight, and two girls were fighting, and one of them had an earring, pierced ears, and I remember that this girl had punched her right on the earring, and so the blood was just running down her face, and we rescued her, and as I had my arms around her as she was sobbing, and that all her blood went down me. And later on, when I met Trixie outside McDonald's in Motherwell, it was late at night, and Trixie said, "You've got that lassie's blood on you." And I didn't even know that had happened. But this was it, you know, giving someone a hand, really caring, you know. And I see this wee girl quite often now, and she's grown up and she's got her own children now, and sometimes she'll smile, and I wonder if she remembers that night many, many years ago when we rescued her from getting a beating. Lend somebody a hand. You know, if you're mowing your lawn, why not mow the person next door's lawn as well? If they haven't got a big dog that'll eat you, that is. But, you know, be kind. If you're going shopping, then offer to help someone maybe with a message or two. If you see someone that's fallen by the wayside, you know, then give them a wee helping hand. Oh, don't be afraid to get involved. Do what Jesus did. Jesus took the risk. We need to take the risk. We need to help the people. I remember one night there was a wee girls gang came to us in the streets, and they were very upset because this little lassie had lost a watch. It was a birthday present. It was a silvery watch. And this was late at night. And she said, "Ray, can you help us to find the watch?" And this little group of girls had been coming to some of our classes. So we said, "Well, let's pray together that Jesus will find the watch." And so they agreed, and we prayed in a wee circle in the street. And I was quite amazed and that these wee Roman Catholic girls wanted to pray with us. So they did. We prayed for the watch. And then Trixie and I left them, and we were talking about it as we went down the road. And this, it was back of 11 o'clock, pitch dark, and the snowflakes were falling. And we said, "What have we done? You know, we have prayed for the watch. And where have you been all over town? It could be anywhere in town, the watch." We knew there were a lot of thieves about as well. So if anybody even had found it, it would be pocketed and sold for drugs. And I said, "Well, what have we done? We really put the Lord to the test." But anyway, we went along the street and we were kicking rubbish and leaves with not really a lot of faith or hope that we would find the watch. And we went along all these rooftops. There's a flat rooftop. We went along there looking for the watch because they'd been hanging out there. And then we met two guys, and I happened to say, they said, "What are you doing?" And I said, before I even thought, I said, "Well, we're actually looking for a watch." And I thought to myself, "Why did I say it? I shouldn't have said that. If they come across it, they'll sell it, you know, for dope." And I regretted it. When the words were out, I regretted it for even saying it. I said, "Oh, Lord, I've blown it here." But then when we just left and we went down the road, and there's this voice shouting behind us, "Ray, Ray, Ray." And this guy's waving the watch, you know. He says, "Is this it?" You know, he's waving the watch. And we said, "Where did you find it?" "Oh, it's just over there." And I don't know whether he had it all along. But either way, it was a miracle, because whether he had it or not, or just had found it, whatever, the miracle was that we got the watch back, you know. And all of Motherwell knew that Jesus found the watch for that wee lassie. As we gave it back to her sometime over the weekend, she was absolutely amazed, and really amazed that it was the Lord. And they went around telling people, although they weren't Christians, they went around telling people that Jesus found the witch, and so he did. And Jesus is into these little things, you know, and he still cares for these wee girls walking about the streets at night, you know. And there he showed a miracle to them. He revealed himself, and he revealed himself to me in a big way. It wasn't my faith. It was the Lord's goodness and the Lord's faithfulness that found us the watch, you know, in the whole of time for that little girl. So we were able to give them a wee helping hand, and the Lord is good when we do that. So we've got to be kind and generous, and we've got to be supportive, and we've got to be patient. And you've been very patient tonight, and I've just got a couple more minutes, if you'll bear with me. We said last week about being here for the long haul. What do you think of this? You know, we had a wee guy in one of our groups, and he used to say to me, "Ray, what can Jesus do for you?" You know, he was hostile to Jesus, but he came along and he played some games of pool with us and whatnot. And we prayed for him, and we prayed for all of that gang that met with us for 2 or 3 years. And we were able to do a lot with them, like take them on camp and so on. But this lad, he never trusted the Lord. He always was quite hostile to the Lord. But here's a remarkable thing, that his little daughter has just got saved, and she's away up, going up to Fiskelly today with the folks from our church. And how about that? You're praying for somebody to get saved, and they don't get saved, but their child gets saved that's not even born when you're praying for that person to get saved. And I thought that was absolutely phenomenal and absolutely fantastic. And we just say, wow, Lord, you know, in God's plan, in God's scheme of things, maybe her dad will get saved from his daughter, you know, who wasn't even born when we were praying for him. And it just makes me excited, so excited tonight. I'm so exuberant in the Lord that God is such a God. You know, God, he doesn't do things our way. He doesn't always answer our prayers our way. He does things his way, and praise God that he does. And that wee daughter's been saved, and that's absolutely fantastic. We need to trust. I said this at the start. We need to keep on trusting. You know, you're praying for someone. Maybe it's someone you work with. Maybe it's someone in your family. You know, maybe it's your child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's your neighbor across the road that you've been praying. Maybe it's somebody you've even brought to church. Maybe it's somebody sitting beside you tonight. You're praying, and time goes by, and you're wondering if the person is ever going to get saved, you know. But we need to just keep on trusting the Lord. Keep on trusting the Lord, you know. Don't get down or discouraged when it doesn't all happen overnight, you know. We've been praying for people, as you know, for 30 years that aren't saved yet. And we're keeping on praying, and maybe their children, maybe their grandchildren will come to know the Lord. Who knows? But whatever, we're going to keep on trusting in the Lord Jesus. And here's my last little point. Try something new. Now, here's a very, very important thing, you know. We've got to be innovative. That's a good word. Innovation, you know. That's a good word for the church. We have got to try different things, you know. If something's not working, you know, let's not be held to methods that maybe worked 100 years ago. You know, this is the 21st century, you know. Yes, we've got computers. Yes, we've got all these wonderful things. But we've got a mind. We can think of something. Why not? Look at this little light bulb with a goldfish in it. That has never been done before, you know. But someone has thought of this, you know. And maybe we can think of something that has never been done before. And Trixie and I sit down at the end of each year and we say to ourselves, what can we do that we've not done before? We want to have something new, some new vision, some new plan, something new to try, something that it might not even work. But God will bless us for trying, you know, and he will lead us if we're just stuck in the mud and going nowhere. Well, you know, that is no good. You know, if we're just in the rut is just a shallow grave, isn't it? That's what a rut is. But we need to be out of the rut and moving on and thinking of something new for the Lord. You know, not just something new for the sake of something new. I don't mean that at all. But the Lord is always moving on. God is the creator. He's creative, you know. He's got a plan for this world, you know. He's got things happening in this world today that never happened 30, 40 years ago, you know. And we've got to be in touch with Him and hear His voice and be prepared to move on. Be creative. Be enthusiastic. Be generous. Love the people. Love one another. And I tell you, God will use you and God will bless you. And the Lord Jesus will be lifted up in this area and in Scotland. Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that Jesus lives. Thank you that after Jesus was taken up into heaven, that the disciples went out everywhere preaching the word. And Lord, you were with them and you worked with them, confirming the word by signs that accompanied it. Lord, you're a great God. You're moving on, and we've got a world, a community to love for Jesus, and we just ask that we will be enthusiastic, that we'll work hard, that we'll take your name out, that we'll have a testimony, Lord, that we will be innovative and creative, that we will be prepared to spend money, lots of it, not holding back. And Lord, knowing all the riches that you give and pour into our lives. And so, Lord, we just ask tonight that there might be a spark here of by your Holy Spirit that will enthuse us as we go for you. And we just ask an evening blessing now in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.